Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. Today is Tuesday, January the 23rd. I'm Gary Zimek and I am so blessed to be with you today. We've got a fantastic show lined up for you. We're going to talk more about it on the other side of our prayer. So with that in mind, let's kick things off as we do each day when we turn to our Heavenly Father who is always with us. He's with us wherever we are as we turn to Him and we ask for His blessing and His guidance and His strength and the grace to deal with anything that comes our way today. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of this new day. We thank you for your constant presence in our lives. Father, we ask you to give us the grace that we need to deal with the challenges of the upcoming day. And Father, you know, as we go throughout the day today, we will encounter many people in person, on the phone, through emails. We're going to encounter many people who need your presence or who need to be reminded of your presence in their lives. Please help us to share you with those around us, so that through us, they can become closer to you. We lift up, Father, those who are sick today. We lift up those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are dealing with all kinds of problems, those who maybe have given up hope. We ask you to bless them, to strengthen them, to guide them, so that they may realize that you're always with them, and so that they may be able to deal with anything that happens today. And of course, we ask you to speak through us on the program today so that we may be able to share your message with all who listen. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I feel a lot better now. Every time I pray, when I start this show, I feel so much better. I am Gary Zimek. This is Spirit in the Morning. If you're a new listener, I want to welcome you to the Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. We do things a little bit differently here. So if you've listened for any time, if you haven't listened, this is your first time, you're going to find out we do things a little bit differently. We love to be Catholic. We love to be with you. We love the Lord. We love to be able to start our day by doing this program. On today's show, we're going to be joined by our friend Dr. John Bergsma from Franciscan University of Steubenville. We'll continue our discussion of Abraham. We've been getting so much out of this discussion. We're going to continue it. Today, we'll look at the birth of Abraham's son, Isaac. Also on the show, first-time guest, Ken Kniepman. He wrote a book called Lenten Healing, 40 Days to Set You Free from Sin. It's going to be interesting to talk to Ken about that. But right now, standing by, ready to go, the one, the only, the man who's too cool for school, Mr. Dave Parker.
Hey, Gary, good morning. How
Brother
are you?
Brother Parker.
How do you read
how
me?
How are you today, my friend?
Yes, I'm good.
I'm a little bit more remote. Some people say I'm remote every day, but I'm a little bit more remote today doing
come
the
on
show
now.
From
no
home.
Softballs.
But you're in the studio, but I can see you, man. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're looking good, my man.
So are you. Thank you. Thank you. And then we have someone else with us.
Would that be the one, the only Frank Elias?
Yes, our director of operations.
I switched seats, so now I'm out of your view. So yes. You don't have to look at my ugly mug this whole time.
Oh man, no!
What do we say
Frank
to that? We agree, we're in trouble.
I'm not agreeing.
Yeah, but we got a really great call yesterday about Spirit in the Morning. Actually, a couple great calls. And one of it was just a quick shout out to Izzy.
Did I call at the right time, Frank?
Well, a quick shout out to Izzy, who loves that Dave Parker show.
Oh, wow. Seriously?
So, Gary, I think you have to do a little bit more to emphasize yourself.
Come on, step it up.
There you go.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
A quick shout out to Izzy. Thank you for
compliments. Thank you,
Izzy. And, and loving the show. Definitely appreciate it and definitely, love that you love Dave Parker. We love him, too.
Well, you got to love Iz. He is. Hey, brother. You got to love Gary. You got to love Frank.
It's good to hear that those calls are coming in. So keep, if you're a listener to the program, do us a favor. Spread the word. Anytime I run to somebody who listens to the show, I say, let people know what it is that we do here.
Well, our dear friend from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, Jocelyn, also called. And just thank some of the work we've been doing on this show. And you know, talk about a few things regarding that.
Hi,
too.
Jocelyn. How are you?
Another great shout out.
She's
to
a
have.
Great friend of the station.
She's terrific. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. She's host of La Voz de Diaz.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
So our Spanish program heard on Sundays at 4:30. But, you know, there was a lengthy conversation and email exchanges. So, you know, we'll see some upcoming guests from
that. Yeah. Gracias.
Really good. Hey, guys, on the show today, it's pretty interesting that we have a guest talking about what to do for Lent. Isn't that kind of scary? But we're not that far away. February the 14th is Lent.
Absolutely.
Have you given any thought to what you may be doing for Lent?
Yeah, kind of putting Advent in the rearview mirror. Now, it's coming up, seriously, it's coming up so fast.
I'm just stuck in Super Bowl mode right now. I'll chalk that up after the Super Bowl.
Those are honest answers, right? You know, honest answers?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, until I booked this guest, I really wasn't thinking too much about it. But we're going to help you to get ready for Lent so that we can make this our best Lent ever. You heard that last year?
Absolutely.
But we're going to do it again this year. You know, if you keep making each successive Lent your best ever, you're going to be in great shape.
Yeah, you're building towards eternity.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Gentlemen, I want to do a quick look at the weather today right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. 49 degrees, light rain, and a little bit of fog and mist. Today, showers, and as we mentioned yesterday, possibly a thunderstorm today before 2 p.m. That's going to make Frank happy because he likes those winter thunderstorms. High near 61 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 34. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 44. At the present time, in Hatfield, it's 43. In Birdsboro, it is 42 degrees. And in Riverside, 49 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty warm.
Pretty balmy, yes. Yeah, for the 23rd of January.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and well, I'll take it. Here, can I say something about Frank? I mean, he has an Eagles jersey on. It's really nice. I love that Eagles green and number 92.
Yeah, Reggie White. But actually,
God rest his soul.
When I saw this, I actually, you know, so I picked it up actually on Sunday. But when I saw it, I was really taken by that it was Reggie White because I really loved Reggie White.
Oh, so did I.
But it has.
I still do.
It's a throwback jersey. From the year Jerome Brown passed away, and so it has the Jerome Brown patch on it.
I can see that.
And so to me, it was just like there was something like as soon as I saw it, I had to have it.
Yeah. And it, look Eagles. At those two great men.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I mean, those great Eagle men.
Well,
who gave so much to the city,
but
to the team.
It's something I'm stuck on about the Eagles themselves and like how they handled that victory on Sunday, and how they came out after all that. And, you know, yes, we know Nick Foles, he came out as because of God. But, you know, their business-like approach, but their faithful approach. And there's a video someone shared yesterday that I saw, which was about the faith of this team across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting to me because it just lives to such a, like, you know, who we are as a radio station, who we are as a Catholic family, and, you know, living your life in a certain way. And that's what I saw among these guys.
Beautifully said. Yes. Hey, Garrett, you want to join?
Yes, sir. No, I'm listening. This is a pretty good show. I never get to listen to this.
Now, Jocelyn and the rest of our faithful listeners.
Yeah, I'm going to get that number, and I'll give you guys a call later and say, hey, I really love this Frank Eliasson show.
Sports in the morning from a Catholic perspective. All right.
It's really good. And when you talk about, of course, you're talking about Jerome Brown. I remember vividly when he died. But, you know, he and Reggie White, getting back to Reggie White, what a good man he was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're talking about somebody who really loved the Lord. Reggie White comes to mind.
Yeah, the Minister of Defense.
Exactly. It's just such an interesting tradition within this team, within sports, which is also fascinating itself. You know, you look at a lot of good quarterbacks and a lot of good players, and they're very into, you know, Jesus and God, et cetera. So it just, to me, is incredible.
Okay. You know, Frank, that's a good point. And what you said is something that I think we try to bring forth on this program. You know, if you look hard enough, you're going to find those connections to Christ and our faith everywhere. And sports is no exception. You know, it's just not – he's just not in church on Sunday. He's everywhere. And so many people are walking the walk, but it's not necessarily known unless you look hard enough. And then you say, wow, this guy's a really good Christian. He's making use of his platform to share the good news.
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep. And, well, I was on the Eagles Twitter yesterday, and looking at, and many of the players are, you know, they first thing, you know, thank you Jesus, all glory to God.
Yep, that's great. Really great to see that. All right, let's take a look at the gospel today from Daily Mass. The gospel comes from Mark chapter 3, verses 33 through 35. The mother of Jesus and his brothers arrived at the house. Standing outside, they sent word to Jesus and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking around at those seated in the circle, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Now, obviously, when Jesus refers to, or when St. Mark refers to the brothers of Jesus, he's talking to relatives, the extended family, not necessarily the biological brothers of Jesus, because as we know, the Blessed Mother had no other children besides Jesus. But this is a translation. Remember, this is coming from Greek. This is not, the Bible wasn't written in English. And also at the time of our Lord, the extended family of someone was considered, Dave, their brothers.
Absolutely.
And their
I was
mothers.
Just going to chime in and say that. Yes, exactly.
Well the said. Really cool thing is what Jesus is saying here is, no, yeah, there's a biological connection here between myself and these people, my mother and my relatives, my cousins. But all of us are now, by virtue of the fact that I became man, that I took on flesh, we are welcomed to become brothers and sisters of Jesus.
Amen.
And children of the same Heavenly Father.
Amen, you know, Dave, brother. That's perfect.
We take for granted sometimes. But
oh,
he's
absolutely.
Saying, no, you're called to be my brother and my sister. I mean, it's just a great offer from
exactly.
the Lord.
A great lesson. Great gospel today.
And one of those things that I said, as I said, we take it for granted, but we need to remember that. Be grateful for that today. You are a son of your Heavenly Father, Jesus, and you have the same father.
Or a sister.
So keep that in mind.
Or a sister.
Make sure you take time to talk to the Lord today and say, "Thank you, Father in heaven, for being my father. Help me to do what I need to do today. And thank you for loving me so much." No matter what you do today, you can't make the Lord love you anymore. What a blessing. When we come back, Dr. John Bergsma, stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 23rd. Today we celebrate St. Marianne Cope. Leprosy was one of the most dreaded diseases in 19th century Hawaii. But when Mother Marianne of Molokai looked into the eyes of someone suffering from the disease, she saw only the suffering face of Jesus. Born in Germany in 1838, she was a teen when her family immigrated to the U.S., and settled in Utica, New York. She entered the Sisters of the Third Order of St. Francis in Syracuse, became a teacher, and served as provincial. In 1883, Mother Marianne and six other sisters answered the call of the Hawaiian government to help serve people suspected of having leprosy. In 1888, she and two sisters went to Molokai, where they opened a home for women and girls. She also took charge of the home that Father Damien de Wooster had established for men and boys. Mother Marianne was a devoted servant and educator of the men and women under her care. She was their mother in every way. Mother Marianne continued her work for 30 years. At her beatification, she was praised as a witness to the beauty of the life of a true Franciscan. Pope Benedict XVI canonized her in 2012. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers & Zims. Summers & Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers & Zims telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is
sumzim.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That's Winnipeg, Canada's husband-wife duo of Jody King, Chris Rademacher, better known as Love and the Outcome. They are favorites of Spirit in the Morning. We play their songs a lot. The God I Know. And think about that. The God I Know. Our God is a personal God. We can get to know him on a personal level. That is a really cool thing. The time right now is 7:18. Since it's Tuesday, we're joined by our friend, Dr. John Bergsma. He's a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. And we are continuing our walk through the Bible. We've been focusing on the story of Abraham. Today, we go to chapter 21 of the book of Genesis. We're going to look at the birth of Isaac. Dr. Bergsma, good morning.
Hey, Gary. Good morning, man.
Hey, good to be with you, my friend.
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a look at this. Now, here we go. Chapter 21 of Genesis. Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah, is finally born. Now, John, let's look at this realistically. Abraham is 75 years old when God calls him and says, all right, Abraham, come with me, leave your homeland, bring your wife. We're going somewhere. Don't worry about where we're going. I'll let you know when you get there. And plus, you're going to have many descendants. He's 100 years old here. It took 25 years, John, for this to happen, for Isaac to be born. In the meantime, Abraham and Sarah get into trouble. They concoct this plan. Now they have their they come up with a way to have another son, Ishmael. All this complexity. Why didn't God do this in a much simpler way? Right? I mean, I'm asking you. I don't know if you know. Doesn't it seem a little complicated?
You know, it does. But you know, what's going on here, Gary, is I think in hindsight we can see he's asking Abraham and Sarah for faith. You know, yeah. He's giving them promises that don't seem visibly to be possible, and he's saying, you know, trust me, I'm going to make some things happen that that are so unrealistic it's going to make you laugh. And that's the thing, you know, the name of Isaac is laughter. You know, he's the funny boy, okay? The funny boy born to the old couple. You know, they should be in a Golden Acres retirement home, and suddenly it's become a maternity ward. They don't usually have, nurses for maternity nurses up at the geriatric section, but here we're having to call them over to be midwives for this little boy whose name means laughter. And you know, I think it's delightful. Our Lord has a sense of humor, Gary, and I think so many times in our lives he asks us to trust him, and tells us, look, I got something better for you, something so good it's going to make people laugh when they hear it.
You know, and obviously I'm kidding around about God could have chosen a better plan, but oftentimes, John, we think that way, and this particular story is one that has helped me and continues to help me when I can't see a clear road ahead of me. I look back and I say, well, wait a minute, look at what happened with Abraham, and it's kind of cool to watch Abraham's faith develop throughout this process.
Absolutely, yeah, it does develop. He's not a saint, you know, right out of the box, so to speak. He's got some foibles to overcome, like we all do. But he has this fundamental trust in God's word, and that's why St. Paul keeps referring to Abraham as our father in faith. It's really an example for us, and meditating on his life continues to show us how to walk with God, taking one step at a time, trusting his word for the next step. You may not be able to see 3 miles down the road, but you can trust him for the next step.
Yeah, even when it doesn't look good. And certainly in this case, you know, Abraham is 100 years old by the time Isaac is born. When he's 99 or 98, you know, if that were me, I'd be saying, wait a minute, this isn't going to happen. I better come up with another plan. And by the way, John, to your point, I like this is in Genesis chapter 21, verse 6. When Isaac was born, Sarah then said, God has given me cause to laugh, and all who hear of it will laugh with me. Right? I mean, I love that.
Yeah, right. You know, and it's so profound because this is the son that later, in a special way, Gary, as you well know, is going to be a sign of Christ. I mean, in the next chapter, he's going to go through a Calvary-like experience. And so in a sense, Jesus is our laughter. You know, Jesus is the son born in an impossible situation to a virgin, you know, in a very dark period in Israel's history when Herod, this awful person, was ruling over the people of God. And Jesus kind of breaks into our darkness and gives us laughter in times when there doesn't seem to be hope. So, there's some wonderful typology here.
Yeah. Okay. And certainly we're going to talk about that next time. What happened with Isaac and Abraham? Abraham was really asked to trust. We'll talk about that in the next chapter. Genesis chapter 21, beginning in verse 9. John, if you could, can you explain about what's going on there? This has to do with Ishmael, correct? Playing with young Isaac. Could you take us through that?
Sure. It seems that, you know, that In verse 9, you know, my English translation says Ishmael was playing with his son Isaac. It's likely that what's meant here is something a little bit more sinister, more like mocking boy Isaac. You know, Ishmael's about 13 at this time, so he's a much older brother, and this new baby, Isaac, is a threat to Ishmael because now there's a more legitimate son, you know, competing to be the heir. And so there's a little bit of tension there, and Sarah, of course, gets very upset because she's, you know, Isaac is her, you know, biological child, and she doesn't want this older boy by her handmaid causing trouble for him as he grows up. And so she flies off the handle, basically, and insists to Abraham that Hagar, the handmaid, and Ishmael be sent away so that there's not this conflict in the household.
Yeah, and exactly what, you know, what happens at that point, because what fascinates me, and we have about 3 minutes left just to give you an idea of the time that we have, we're told Abraham was greatly distressed because he's concerned about Ishmael, but then God speaks to Abraham in verse 12, and he says, "Do not be distressed about the boy or about your slave woman. He demands of Sarah, no matter what he is, what she is asking of you, for it's through Isaac that descendants shall bear your name." But then he goes on, the Lord goes on to say, "As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a great nation of him also, since he too is your offspring." A sign that God cares for everyone?
Yes. I mean, it's, you know, Ishmael was, in a certain sense, you know, a mistake in a way. I mean, it was result of Abraham and Abraham and Sarah, you know, trying to do an end run around God's plan, or to look at a different way, trying to help God out too much, and so it was a, you know, a lack of faith that led to the whole Hagar and Ishmael episode. And yet God says, "Okay, I have more than one blessing. I don't have just one blessing. I'm going to bless Ishmael too, but at the same time, you know, we're going to stick with my original plan." So it's significant here. Abraham doesn't send Hagar and Ishmael away until he really has divine assurance that God is going to care for them, which he in fact does. And this story goes on to relate, you know, God's miraculous care for Hagar and Ishmael in the desert. And they do survive and they prosper, and Ishmael prospers, and so on. So yeah, God blesses sometimes even our mistakes, while he asks us to trust in his original plan for us.
What a great point that is, and I think that's very comforting, the fact that even if I mess up, God's God, and he can bring good out of that mess up. Takes a lot of pressure off. John, we have about a minute left. One point I want to make before we close. What I find very neat about this whole story, watching it unfold, is this constant dialogue between Abraham and the Lord. Abraham's getting his comfort by talking to the Lord, and the Lord's responding. And I think if we all remember that, we're going to be a lot more peaceful in our lives. If we talk to the Lord about the issues that are going on and listen to what he has to say, he's going to reassure us that, hey, I got this. Relax.
Yeah, it's that interior conversation, you know, like an ongoing conversation with God that we try to develop the habit of keeping that going all through the day, Gary.
Yep.
And that's really where our effectiveness as Christians
absolutely
comes from.
Absolutely. Well, brother, thank you again for being with us. Can't wait to chat next time about Isaac and the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, this is Abraham, you know, he can't rest because the Lord's going to test him again big time. John, where can we find you online?
Sure. CatholicBibleTeacher.com will get you to my website.
Awesome. Brother, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.
Yeah. Take care. Talk to you next week.
God bless. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
I want to tell you today about a very special thrift store located in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Mary's Thrift Store was dedicated to our Blessed Mother on its opening day, May 13, 2017, the 100th anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady in Fatima. Mary's Thrift Store is located at the Wedgwood Shopping Center at 4327 West Lincoln Highway in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. All proceeds benefit the St. Joseph's House, a charitable nonprofit in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, whose mission is to serve families and children in need. Come shop in this well-stocked store of quality merchandise that will bless you and your budget from Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And also check out the mission of St. Joseph's House by visiting www.sjhouse.org.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. What's the difference between a superb violin produced by a master like Antonio Stradivari and a mediocre one by less gifted artisans? Details. There are virtually no items in the making of a violin that don't affect its sound. Different woods are used for the back and belly, supporting ribs, linings, blocks, and other parts. The fiber and density of each type of wood affects the pitch and tone. Even the quality of the varnish is important to the production of a full, rich sound. Stradivari had his own varnish recipe, which has never been duplicated. In life, as in violin making, details make the difference. So pay attention to the little things, and they may lead you to the full, rich life you crave. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Getting your daily dose of vitamin Z. You're listening to Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Thank you for joining us today. The time now is 7:33. That song that you just heard was All the People Said Amen by Matt Maher. And I'm so glad that you're able to join us. Let's all say amen today as well. We're joined now on the phone by Ken Kniepman. He's the author of the new book, Lenten Healing, 40 Days to Set You Free from Sin, from Ave Maria Press. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, Ken. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. I love the book, and you know what? The fact that we're talking about this book is starting to make me think, maybe, just maybe, I'm not going to just give up chocolate for Lent this year. Right? You're challenging me, brother. I don't know if I like it, but I think it's good for me.
Well, I think it's, you know, I think so often we go into Lent and we just kind of have this attitude of, we don't really give it a whole lot of thought. And we just think, well, Maybe I'll be serious about giving up meat on Friday. I'll give up chocolate. And, and certainly there's a deep history in the church, you know, of mortifying our bodies, of giving things up and kind of detaching ourselves from the world. And while that's all really good, there a lot of times within us, there's deeper things that it would really be also good for us to kind of get at and give up and get out of our lives. And that's really what Lenten healing is about.
Yeah, Ken, I want to ask you, you're a speaker, you're a writer, and you're the former executive director of the John Paul II Healing Center in Tallahassee, Florida. So you've been involved in ministry for a long time. This idea of coming up with a new way to really make this a great Lent, is this something that has evolved in your mind over the years, or have you always had this mindset?
I've not always had this mindset.
Okay.
A lot of it really has come as a result of just the years of ministry, and it's probably a formation of a lot of things. I have a human services background, bachelor's in psych, master's in counseling. And so when I looked at all of that, and then in my years at the Healing Center, I really just came to realize that our sin, in many respects, is just a medication. And yet, so often, you know, our theology and our catechesis, and we kind of get in this headset of, boy, you know, I can just will myself out of my sin. If I was more determined, if I was just a little more on it, if I paid a little more attention, if I worked a little harder, I could get rid of my sin. And yet we all have those stubborn sins that we can't get rid of. And there's a frustration and sometimes even a despair in that, because we think that our sin is the end game, when our sin in many respects isn't anything more than fruit. It's like an apple that hangs on an apple tree. And if you have an apple, I grew up, had an apple tree in the backyard, and we had a cherry tree too. And I never ever went to the cherry tree looking for an apple, because I always knew where I would always find the apples.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted cherries, I have to go to the cherry tree. So if my sin is a fruit, and if we kind of use that, you know, that Genesis example, if my sin is an apple, well, I can go in a very real sense. I can go to confession. I can pick all the apples. I can receive the grace. But the problem is I still have an apple tree, and so I have these deeper beliefs, these negative thoughts, beliefs, emotions that really drive my sin. And unless I get at those, I'm just going to continue to have an apple tree. I need a new trunk. I need new roots. And so that's really kind of the analogy that I base the book around.
Mm. And I love that analogy. And Ken, you bring up a couple of other good points that I want to highlight. One is that, well, just to lay this out there, so many times we downplay sin. We think, well, you know, I'm not killing anybody, but I've got all these other things, but they're not a big deal. That's one fallacy, and in your book you address that, and I want to highlight this, because this is a little painful, but you also offer an answer. You say clinging to sin is as deadly and dangerous to us in this world as it is in the next, and second, sin is connected to things inside of us. So we should really take sin seriously, but on the other hand, the point you just made, I think it's another good thing to consider, we're not going to win this battle by just willing it, by saying, I'm just going to fight my way through it, but by turning to a higher power, turning to the Lord and saying, Lord, you, please help me with this.
Exactly, Gary. And I think a lot of times we don't realize how dangerous, and we have all this great theology, and sin is certainly deadly to us in the next world, but it's also deadly to us, and it's deadly to our relationships in this world. My pride doesn't, or my greed or my lust, that doesn't bring me into any better relationship with those around me. It doesn't bring me into better relationship with God. Matter of fact, those sins are all really catastrophically damaging to my relationships with others. And you see this. We see it all around us in the culture. We see it, you know, with the rampant pornography. How many marriages have been ruined by men who are addicted to pornography? Uh-huh. And a lot of those men are good men. A lot of those are men who don't want it, who would like to not have that sin in their lives, and yet they can't get free of it. And so the question really becomes, what's going on in that, that I can't get free of that? Mm-hmm. And that's really where the book really tries to get to go, is to just help people look at some of those deeper things, to actually work through those to the other side.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking with author and speaker Ken Kniepman about his book, Lenten Healing, 40 Days to Set You Free from Sin, brand new from Ave Maria Press. Ken, if you could, and what I like about this book is that it's doable. It's something that I can focus on for each day of Lent. Could you just briefly take us through the structure of how this book works?
Sure. It's really set in the rhythm of Lent. You can mm-hmm. spend as little as 5 or 10 minutes a day. You could really spend as much as 30 minutes a day in it, just depending on what your schedule is. And but we start every week off on Monday, and every week we're just going to address one of the 7 deadly sins, and we're going to and the things that lie under it. And okay. and so as we go through the week, there's a short reflection every day mm-hmm. with either a catechism quote, a scripture quote, a quote from the saint, and then just a question or two in reflection, and then a short prayer that just kind of helps you settle into it for the day. And so we start the week there. For example, when we're in the week of pride, Monday is we talk about pride, but there's some mm-hmm. other kinds of pride. So on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we address things like self-reliance, self-promotion, because those are all kind of variations of pride. Pride isn't only just this big old puffed up, hey, look at me thing. It really has some subtler nuances. And then as we get later in the week, we take a look at what are some of the things that drive pride. And pride is fundamentally driven by this feeling of being alone in the world, that I've been abandoned, yeah. that it's all up to me. I have to take care of everything. And so that really is kind of the hurt that lies most fundamentally under it. We get to Friday. Mm-hmm. We know how our Fridays go in Lent. There's more of a reflection. There's actually a prayer experience that you can read through every Friday to just help yourself hear from the Lord. And then Saturday, we're kind of back in the rhythm. And then Sunday, we're actually celebrating the other side of it. And so on Sunday in the week on Pride, we're going to celebrate. There's a little reflection on humility and belonging, which is the other side of abandonment. And so then on Monday, we're kind of back in the rhythm. So it has a rhythm that's very much in keeping with the season. Sundays have a gospel reflection that is connected right. to the gospel reading for that day during Lent.
And what I really like about the book, Ken, is it helps keep us focused, because I think sometimes we get into Lent saying, well, I'm going to try to be a better person. And that's on day one. And then as week two comes by and then week three, we're kind of forgetting what we're doing. And then we just lapse into, well, I'm not going to eat meat on Friday. And, you know, we just forget about the whole plan. But this book helps us keep focused on these sins that are keeping us away from the Lord. And also what you're doing here that I love is that you're not just trying to force your way out of these sins. You're turning to the Lord and saying, all right, Lord, I want to get rid of this sin, but I need you to help me. And what comes to mind is, in my mind, are the words of John the Baptist, that he must increase and I must decrease. I got to get rid of the sin, then I want to fill that up with the Lord.
Exactly, Gary, and because we can't do it ourselves, and it's a little bit of a performance-based fallacy. Really, it's almost a kind of pride to think that, well, I can take care of my sin myself. I can overcome that. And what I've tried to do in this book is this thing is really, really simple. Anybody can pick this up and follow it. You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't even have to. It's just simple. It's very straightforward. The language is really very easy to follow, and all you have to do is just kind of read through it and just allow yourself to really let God speak to you in the process of reading things. And you just kind of pay attention to every day. What do I think? What do I feel? What do I believe as I'm reading through these things? Does any of this catch me? Does any of this speak to me? And mm-hmm. as you pay attention to those things, God works in really organic processes, in my experience. And so I've tried to lay out something that's really simple, really organic, that as you go through it, God is just going to speak to you. He's just going to show you things. He's going to highlight things in your life. And hopefully along the way, you have a couple of aha experiences where you say, mm-hmm. oh, I never realized that about my, that's where that thing comes from in my life. And, and then God can really, in very profound ways, in the simplicity of all of that, bring healing and freedom in some of those areas of our life.
Mm-mm. Great job, Ken. The book is Lenten Healing, 40 Days to Set You Free from Sin by Ken Kneippman. We're going to put, it's from Ave Maria Press, we're going to put a link on spiritinthemorning.com so you can pick up a copy of the book for yourself. Ken, before you go, I want to just highlight, this book's also available as an ebook. Is that correct?
It is. It's available on Kindle
from
Amazon. And for anybody who wants to help support the mission and work of the ministry, they can buy a signed copy of the book on our website. But it's also the JP2 Healing Center website.
And what is
and
that?
Of course, Ken? You can also it's www.jpiihealingcenter.org.
Perfect. Perfect. Ken, thank you so much for joining us today on Spirit in the Morning, and thanks for writing the book. I can't wait to get started with it.
Hey, Gary, I appreciate you having me on the show this morning, and certainly, you know, look forward to maybe another opportunity to speak sometime.
I would love to do that, brother. Thanks again. Ken Kneippman, the book is Lenten Healing, 40 Days to Set You Free from Sin, from Ave Maria Press. Make sure you pick up a copy so that this can be your best Lent ever. When we come back, Be Not Afraid Bible Verse.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Oh, take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, well, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life. In awe of your name, your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me. You will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That is brand new. The name of that song is Gracefully Broken from Matt Redman. You know Matt Redman from the song 10,000 Reasons. We play it on the program a lot. Matt Redman featuring gospel recording artist Tasha Cobbs-Leonard. Gracefully Broken, brand new. That's in the top 10 of the current Christian singles. So we bring you here on Spirit in the Morning the top Christian hits of the day, in addition to many classics from the past. So glad you could join us on the program today. All right, if you're a little nervous, it's time to go to our Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day right here on Spirit in the Morning. Today's verse comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. If that sounds familiar, we pray that at Mass every Sunday, but we forget that sometimes. The entire earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. That means every person you see, every object, every animal, every creation, it's all God's goodness. We just need to look for him. And I think if we realize that, if we're aware that he is with us and we learn to see him in everything, we're going to be a lot more peaceful in life. All right, I want to highlight one thing. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to feature some special events. These interviews tomorrow will feature some special events that are going to be taking place in Birdsboro, Pennsylvania, sponsored by Our Ladies Missionaries of the Eucharist. And we're going to talk more about that tomorrow. One of our guests will be Kathleen McCarthy. If you've been around the Delaware Valley for any length of time, you are well familiar with Kathleen and the great work that she has done for years. I know Kathleen. I've wanted to have her on the show. We're going to finally pull it off tomorrow, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Now, with that in mind, Birdsboro, Pennsylvania is out in our WCOJ listening area. And I think Frank Eliason has a couple things that he wants to say about WCOJ. Frank.
Hey, thanks for Gary. You know, we always try and provide the best listening experience. We did some major upgrades here at WISP, which feed both stations and are really important to doing it. This past weekend, we did have some issues down at WCOJ. I spent Saturday a number of hours there. Sunday, I was there all day. And then yesterday, I was actually there all day with our engineer. And we did correct those issues at this point. But we really need to take some of these upgrades that we did here in Doylestown and do similar upgrades there.
Kind of a paralleling.
Yeah, exactly. Have the same technology. I actually priced it out yesterday and a little bit.
Oh, boy.
It wound up coming out. I originally thought it would be around $7,000, and it's going to be more like $10,000 if we do it right. And I really want to do it right. So, I just want to put a please help out there if we can in WCOJ. Basically, a few things that we want to do. We want to build a better connection between Doylestown and WCOJ so the connection is consistent and with the highest level of quality. Yes. The device we use today, that runs about $600 and you need one in each place. Well, I priced out the device that we should have. That's $1,500 each, and I need multiple of those. And so that was certainly more than expected. The other thing is I want to build in a backup, which will actually create a monthly expenditure that I really didn't, hasn't been planned in, which is basically to not only are we connected through internet, we also want to put, I'd like to be able to put a cellular backup. Yes. So that way if, say the internet goes down, that automatically kicks over and goes to the cellular network. So that way the station is always live, no issues, and has multiple redundancies. But, as I said, there is a cost involved. So, if anyone could afford it within the COJ and they really like what they listen to, we want to
WISP even.
Exactly. If you just want it to spread. My ultimate goal is to actually get another station, which covers the whole area, but that's a different pledge request.
That's in the future.
But if you could help us out, when the timing's right, but if you could help us out, I would really appreciate it. We try not to spend money. We actually tried the opposite. But, I think this is a time where we really need to for the long-term longevity of the station.
Yeah, well said, Frank.
Frank, what's the best way to make that donation?
You can make donations at holyspiritradio.org. Hey, I'm here all day. You can give me a call, 215-345-1570. Or just mail it in, P.O. Box 798, Doylestown, Pennsylvania, 18901. So there are the three different ways that you could donate, the easiest way being at holyspiritradio.org.
Excellent. And if you forget any of that contact information, it's all on the website, holyspiritradio.org.
I want to thank our listeners. I mean, you've helped us over the years on our journey, and we're still going forward. And thanks
to
Frank.
We're planning on being here permanently. The reason we did these upgrades in the first place
is to
ensure the longevity of this station.
Yes.
And so that's all this is that continuation of that effort.
Okay.
That's right. We want to thank you for listening today. God willing, we're going to be here tomorrow. We hope you can join us. And until we meet again, this is Gary Zimak reminding you that wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you say hi. See you next time.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating